Good to see everybody this evening. We're obviously a little bit short tonight, but with the type of weather we've had, it's a good number. And I want to reiterate what I said this morning. It's really an encouragement to see everyone out on a day like this. It's easy to use it as an excuse, and yet you didn't. And so I really appreciate that. And again, I know that's not that big of a deal, my appreciation, but I believe God appreciates us when we make the extra effort. And so, like I say, it's just really good to see each one tonight. I want to talk about something that we all have in common, and that is fretting. It usually happens at night when the sun goes down, and we try to go to sleep, and we think about whatever it is that we think about that's on our heart or on our mind that seems to be oppressive to us. Whether it's money worries or whether it's health issues or the pressures of the job or whatever, we fret about a lot of things. But maybe one of the most difficult things that we fret about is other people and what they think about us or what they might do to us or whatever the case is. David handled that very well in the 37th Psalm. If you'd like to be turning over there, he really does tell us how to handle this idea of fretting about evil men. It's introduced as a Psalm of David, and he says this: "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they'll soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." And that's kind of the point of evil men, is they don't have hope for the future. This is their only time, and it's kind of sad when we allow those without hope to kind of steal our hope because we're worried about them and what they might do. I've noticed that one of the things, I don't know if it's always been this way, I didn't pay an awful lot of attention to the news when I was younger, but I've noticed one of the things that seems like, especially of late in the news, is our news has become something more akin to what we used to see on the playground. Did you hear what so-and-so said about you? Oh, yeah? Well, you just tell him this for me. There are always people who love to stir the pot and who love to make one group of people mad at another group of people. I don't know why they do it. I suppose it's like anything else. It's for power or prestige or standing or whatever it is. But we seem to see that a lot. And because we have those tactics, it seems like we always hear the worst about everybody. And when we hear the worst about everybody, we start fretting about them. We get mad about what they're doing, or it worries us, it frightens us what they might do. And instead of turning to God, we just allow it to really affect our lives. David, through inspiration, says, "Do not fret because of evil men." And then he gives the solution, verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he'll do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." And then he says it again, "Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath." And then a third time, "Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they'll not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." And I like the way that concludes, because great peace is the exact opposite of fretting. And so think about what you have in your life. Do you have great peace in your life? And if not, could it possibly be because you're allowing wicked men to distract you from what you're here for? And also to distract you from the joy and the peace of mind that God wants you to have. That's one of the things that evil men can do to us if we permit it. But we have the solution, and I want to point out the solution again in these verses. Verse 3, After he said, don't fret because of evil men, verse 3 gives part of the solution. He says, trust in the Lord. Verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Verse 7, be still before the Lord. And verse 9, hope in the Lord. We have all these things. We have trust and delight and commitment and being still and hoping, and all of it is in relationship to our relationship to the Lord. And so if we will do these things, they're guaranteed to take away the fretting. I'm not saying that we don't need concern. I'm absolutely convinced that maybe a big part of the reason that we find ourselves in bad states from time to time is because we allow evil men to do what evil men want to do without even attempting to stop them. And because of that, we have things that are taught within our schools that we would permit, we would prefer not to be taught. We have things going on in society that we wish weren't going on. We have all sorts of things that are happening, and I believe we need to be at least attentive in doing our part. But our part, it does not include fretting. The word fret literally means this: to cause corrosion or gnaw, to move in agitation or commotion, to torment, irritate, annoy, or vex. Now, does any of that sound good for you? Corrosion, gnawing, agitation, commotion, torment, irritation, annoying or vexation. None of that's any good. And yet we so often do these things voluntarily. Instead of, when we are thinking about something or concerned about something, putting that before God and taking it to Him, we instead decide to keep it to ourselves and just think about it and go over and over and over it. And it causes us to not enjoy the life that we have. So let's look at these five things that God says for us to do through David in order to prevent this fretting. The first that we found in verse 3 was trust in the Lord. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 9 says this: the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. I think about that a lot when I think about the different things that are going on, especially during difficult times. The fact that God has never let me down. I've let Him down, but He's never let me down. He's never let our family down. Our family has let Him down, but He has never let us down. And it's very nice to be able to trust in someone who never will let you down. It's one of the reasons we don't have to fret and worry. By the way, what can some evil man do that can prevent God from doing His will? I'm not suggesting for a moment that evil men cannot cause trouble, but can an evil man stop God from doing His will? And the answer is no, they cannot. And so we just need to trust in God. Psalms 20, verse 7 says this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. One of the facts about wicked men is they're going to be brought to their knees, if not in this lifetime, certainly at the judgment and for all eternity. And that's the only thing that's going to count for us, and the only thing that's going to matter for us when we get to that point is eternity. And so if we're trusting in the physical things today, chariots and horses or the modern day equivalents, instead of trusting in God, then we're going to have that fretting, are we not? You ever listen to a debate among the senators or the congressmen about the military bills? You know, America, for those of you who don't know, America has a bigger budget for military than all the nations of the world combined. And yet it's still not enough. Now, I'm not saying whether it is enough or not enough. I don't know. I'm just saying that there are some who think it's never enough. And the reason is because when you're relying on your own power to save you, there'll never be enough of your own power. You'll always need something more. You'll need something more than the rest of the world has. And again, I don't mean this to be a criticism for our military policies. I really don't know much about that, but I do know this. God is the one that we're to trust, and He won't let us down. And if we can remember that, it takes away that continual corrosive effect of fretting that so many seem to keep close to them in their lives. Psalms 56 says this, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust." Like that saying? We stuck it on our money a few years ago. I'm not sure if we did it to show people how much we trusted in God or if we just thought that would be a neat thing to do. But this says, "In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" That's a great question. What can a mortal man do to you? Well, he can take away your mortal life. He can make you miserable. He can be a threat to you in many physical ways, but from a spiritual point of view, he can do nothing. I know he can influence you if you permit it. He can cause you to fret if you permit it. But when it comes down to it, mortal men cannot do anything to us spiritually unless we let him. And so we have that protection. And so the psalmist says, "When I'm afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." I like that part because we like to lean on our own understanding, don't we? We like to think, well, what if this happens? And if this happens, then what if this happens? And if this happens, what if this happens? And we stay awake at night thinking about all the what ifs. And again, I'm convinced that we need to be prudent in our lives. We need to have concern for the things that we have a rightful need to be concerned for. But so often we are, instead of trusting in God, we're trusting in ourselves. And we're leaning on our own understanding. And we're always wondering, but what if this happens? And what if this happens? And what if this happens? And the answer is, if it happens, it happens. Do we want to be prepared as we can? Of course. But we don't want to take away our trust in the Lord, because that is the key to a good life. And that's the key to inheriting the land and enjoying great peace that God wants for us. The second solution was to delight in the Lord. In verse 4 of Psalms 37, it said, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart." I really like that passage. Don't you want the desires of your heart? A little over a year ago, our family started giving each other specific things that we wanted the other ones to be praying about. And I really like that because I don't know how it's done for the rest. Well, I guess I do because they've talked about it. But it seems to have drawn us closer together with this intentional praying each day for the desires of each one's heart. Look at this. This says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart." But we have to delight in the Lord. We delight in so many different things. And it's okay to enjoy different things, but we need to take our peace in God. We need to have our true spiritual pleasure come from God. Delight yourself in the Lord. The first psalm talks about that delight and how we do that. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So when we talk about delighting ourselves in the Lord, certainly a big part of that is delighting ourselves in his law. His ways are good. It's the best way to live. It gives us peace. It gives us happiness. Psalms 112 and verse 1 says this, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands." There's a blessing if you find delight in his commands. There are too many people who take delight in evil things or in worldly things or in inconsequential things. And we are going to be blessed, on the other hand, if we take great delight in God's commands. It says, "Such a man," in verse 2, "his children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. If you and I delight ourselves in the law of God, in His commands, in His way, and we apply it to our lives, our whole family is going to be blessed. That means we're going to be happy. That means we're going to receive favor from God. It's an amazing thing. The 119th Psalm in verse 24, the writer says, "Your statutes are my delight." In verse 47, he says, "I delight in your commands because I love them." Do you think about that? Do you think about the delight that we get from God's Word? Because the more you think about that, the more enjoyable your life can become. And that's what God wants us to have, is that delight in the things that are proper for us to enjoy. Romans chapter 7, verse 22, "In my inner being, I delight in God's law." Seems like every time you see the word delight, it's talking about the Word of God. And there's a reason for that, because the Word of God is going to bring us joy and happiness and peace and pleasure. But we have to be attentive to that word in order for that to happen. The third thing that we're told to do in order not to fret is to commit. In verse 5 of the 37th Psalm, it said, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him and He'll do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the light of the dawn." In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1, it says this, and I like the way it's put, "To a man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue." Now, this can be proper or improper, but let's look at it from a proper way. It is okay for you to make plans in your heart for God. I'm going to live here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to engage in this type of work. I'm going to have this house. There's all sorts of things that we can plan for. To man belongs the plans of the heart. But we have to devote those things to God. And that way, if that's not God's will, then He will make sure that we're protected. And after it says, "To man belongs the plans of the heart," in verse 2 it says, "All of his ways seem innocent, but motives are weighed by the Lord." That's an important part for us to understand, is sometimes I seem okay. I have the most innocent of desires as far as what I want to do, but God looks at it and He sees either I've got an ulterior motive, whether it's subconscious or consciously, or it's something that's not good for me. And there are times where we fool ourselves. As a matter of fact, I have found the more often I fool myself, the more I want to try and defend myself to others. "Well, I did this for this reason. And I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and it'll be really good for God." But God can see through that if it's not something that is truly for Him. And so in verse 3 of Proverbs 16, He says this. After He said all a man's ways seem innocent to him, He says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." I love that part because we are given a guarantee. We talked about the importance of holiness this morning and of consecrating ourselves to God. Well, if we're holy, if we're in that proper relationship to God, if we truly have set apart our lives for God, then we can commit everything we do. And God will see to it that those plans succeed from the perspective of this. I want to do this, but it's not good for me, so God will prevent me from doing this. Or I want to do this, and it's okay if I handle it this way, but not this way. He can help me to handle it in the right way. But if you and I will commit our plans to the Lord, and we truly commit them to God, then our plans will, in fact, succeed. The fourth thing He tells us to do is to be still before the Lord. One of the hardest things for me to do is to be still. I just always want to be active in something. Carolyn could probably just curl your hair with stories of things that I've done from my very fast reactions. I consider it a tremendous virtue, but it's not always a tremendous virtue. You jump into things sometimes you shouldn't do. Sometimes the best thing for us to do, especially when we're fretting about what might happen, is just to be still before God. Here's what God tells the Israelites in Exodus 14. This is when the Egyptians were coming after them. They had finally gotten out of bondage, and now the entire Egyptian army is coming after them, and they are mad, and the Israelites know it. And the Israelites, they don't have weapons. And here comes this army. In verse 13, after the people express their concern, Moses says this: "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Here the Israelites found themselves at a great body of water. And in between that and an army, they were between a rock and a hard place. And they thought their lives were probably done. And yet, from God's perspective, as it was revealed through Moses, it's just be still. God will take care of this. One of the most important things for us to remember is if we will do everything that is within our power to do, and it's God's will, then we have every right to step back and just be still and see if it is, in fact, God's will. And if it's God's will, He'll make sure it's accomplished. But we do need to be still, and that's what God told the Israelites through Moses. You only need to be still. The Lord will fight for you. In Psalms 46, verse 10, God said this: "Be still and know that I am God." Have you ever seen a really good mother with a really fretful child when they're little bitty? And the child is just coming apart, and mama can just take that child in her arms and just hush that child, you know, just be quiet, be still. And, well, that's the power that God has for us only in the most important areas of our life. Be still and know that I am God. That's an incredible promise. But He also says, "I will be exalted among the nations." We have to honor Him first. The final thing that we looked at was hoping in the Lord. In verse 9, evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. In Psalms 25, verses 1 through 5, it says this: "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me." And then he says this: "No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame." Isn't that an amazing thing? No one whose hope is in God will ever be put to shame. One of the reasons it is so important for us to be in a proper relationship with God is because when we are, and our hope is in Him, we'll never be put to shame. The writer goes on to say this: "But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse." Those evil men that we've read about, God will take care of them. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth, and teach me, for you our God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." And so, which is it that we prefer? Do we prefer to fret, or do we prefer to trust and delight and commit our ways to God and be still before Him and hope in God? Because if we'll do these things, then we'll truly have a good life. But we always get to choose whether or not we want that or whether we want the consequences of going a different direction. Invitation's open. If anyone needs to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?